Now, continuing with our theme with regards to Israeli Apartheid Week 2016, we talk about academic boycotts. We're joined on the line by Phyllis Bennis, who is an international acclaimed personality. She has written and edited 11 books, amongst them the sixth updated edition of the popular Understanding of the Palestinian-Israeli Conflict. She joins us on the line. Phyllis, good day to you and welcome to the program on Radio Islam.
Good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. Is the Israeli Apartheid Week in South Africa, we understand that, we're currently going through that, we understand that it is the same in the United States of America currently. How has the week been received by the U.S. public?
Well, I think it differs depending on what city you're in. This is less a national, one national event or series of events than it is a wide range of local activities that's different in different cities, different campuses. But in many cities, much of the work of Israeli Apartheid Week focuses on college campuses. And I think it's particularly important because it's linked to the academic boycott, which is, of course, part of the global BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement. And I would say there's two reasons why the academic boycott is particularly important. One has to do with realities inside Israel. The other has to do with realities inside the pro-Israeli forces in the United States. So inside Israel, the question of academic ties, academic relationships between Israeli institutions is a very important thing for Israeli identity. We talk here sometimes when we're talking about the similarities and differences between the anti-apartheid movement around South Africa in the 1980s and into the 90s and the current BDS movement. One of the big differences is that among white South Africans who were the beneficiaries of apartheid, the question of sports was really important. And in some ways, even though the banking divestment and the banking boycott movements were more important strategically, it's the sense of many people here who were involved in the anti-apartheid struggle that it was really the sports boycott that hit home, if you will, that really made ordinary white South Africans realize that they would pay a price for apartheid. In Israel, sports isn't such a big deal, but academic collaboration is. So the academic boycott becomes very, very important for Israeli both national and individual kind of identity and self-interest, how it's perceived. On the U.S. side, the pro-Israeli forces, the AIPAC and the other parts of the lobby, have been getting very, very worried in recent years because they're losing influence in the Jewish community. And it's particularly true among young Jews. There simply is not the kind of automatic support for Israel that young Jews once grew up with. I certainly did. When I was growing up, a young Jew in the 1950s and 60s, the assumption was, of course you supported Israel. Everything Israel does is great. We didn't know any better. There was no alternative out there. Now there are organizations like Jewish Voice for Peace and a host of others, Open Hillel, organizations particularly focusing on young Jews who are supporting BDS, who are challenging occupation and apartheid. And the old guard of AIPAC and the Council of Presidents and the rest of the pro-Israel lobby, they are really, really scared. They're scared that they're losing the support of young Jews. So they are really concentrating on college campuses with a very strong, highly funded national campaign to build pro-Israel organizing on U.S. college campuses. So in response to that, the work on those campuses of building events for Israeli Apartheid Week become really, really important in challenging that new kind of desperation by the Israel lobby.
Yes, so interesting background in that regard. In terms of the academic boycott, why is an academic boycott of Israel an effective way to isolate the actions of the apartheid Israel?
Well, partly for the reasons I spoke of earlier, that people in Israel have a very strong commitment to their their academic institutions. And part of what that means is that they want to be a global player in academic worlds. So whether it's science, technology, even some of the social sciences, they're building these alliances between Israeli institutions and U.S. institutions. The Technion, the leading Israeli technical university, is building a joint new campus in New York City with Cornell University, one of the most prestigious of U.S. universities. And it's important to recognize that the academic boycott and the BDS campaign academic focus is on those institutions. It's not about targeting individual Israeli academics. There are still plenty of collaboration between colleagues. There's no one is saying that individual Israelis should be expelled from institutions or whatever. It's about preventing and challenging the institutional relationships of the academy. So collaborations, joint funding between the military science departments of Israeli and U.S. universities, that sort of thing. And it's based on the understanding that Israeli universities are uniformly tied to the economic and political and military system of apartheid inside Israel. So, which is also true in the U.S., we should be very clear about that. And if any international forces wanted to build a movement to challenge academic institutional relationships with U.S. institutions, we would support that as well, because our institutions do the same thing. They get money from the Pentagon, they assign scientists and other academics to work on campaigns of various sorts, experiments, developing various kinds of research that are aimed at military goals. Israel does exactly the same thing, and virtually no Israeli universities are immune from that relationship. So it's for that reason that Israeli universities are part of the targets of the academic boycott campaign.
Yes, now, are more and more academic or tertiary learning institutions joining the academic boycott of Israel?
Yes and no. It's a complicated question. Mm. For the administration of both public and private universities in the U.S., very few, I'm not sure any, have officially signed on to the academic boycott. What is happening in much greater numbers is that faculty senates in universities across the country, academic organizations like the American Studies Association, the Native American Studies Association, the Asian Studies Association, and a host of others, have passed resolutions calling for support for the academic boycott, supporting BDS in various ways, supporting increased relations with Palestinian institutions, a whole range of things. So those activities are succeeding on college campuses. That's not even talking about the broader BDS campaigns that student groups are organizing on campuses, whether it's boycotts in the school cafeterias of Israeli hummus, for instance, that's been very popular around the country, or broader campaigns to divest the school endowment from other targets of the BDS movement, whether it be Caterpillar or others. So on campus, there's been a lot of successful BDS campaigns. That has not yet translated. We're still, you know, this has only been going on a few years. We have not yet seen the broader success of institutional decisions by the administration of universities agreeing to boycott Israeli institutions.
Yes, interesting perspective that you share with us, Fris. Thank you very much for your time on Radio Islam. We appreciate you chatting on this very, very important topic.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye. That was Phyllis Bennis speaking to us about academic boycotts and giving us her perspective on the importance and why it plays such a pivotal role.